As Iraqis prepare for Saturday's constitutional referendum, we're checking in with reporters in different parts of the country to see how Iraqis are thinking about the process. Today, we'll talk about Iraqi Kurdistan, that's in the northern part of the country, and Newsweek reporter Babak Daganpishad just returned to Baghdad from Iraqi Kurdistan. He joins us now on the phone from Baghdad. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me on.
Remind us, Iraqi Kurdistan, this is the part of the country where the U.S. intervention and occupation and the reforms there have all been overwhelmingly popular.
Yes, this is true. While insecurity is really the main point to note, and in a lot of the rest of the country, the north of the country is relatively secure and overwhelmingly welcoming to the U.S. troops and the U.S. officials.
Kurdistan has enjoyed virtual autonomy since the end of the first Gulf War back in 1991. The U.S. established the no-fly zone and prevented Iraqi forces from going into much of Iraqi Kurdistan. Their primary political goal, which is enshrined in this constitution, is to preserve that autonomy.
Yes, exactly. And, having this autonomy since 91, I think the Kurdish politicians and leaders actually have quite a bit of experience in, trying to argue their points and, trying to retain that autonomy. And that came out in the discussions over the Constitution. In recent months, the Kurds really did went out and did get a lot of provisions, retaining their regional autonomy, their local armed forces, and having the Kurdish language recognized in the new constitution that we voted on this weekend.
So there is, should we believe that there is overwhelming support for the constitution as well?
Well, that depends on who you ask. The general expectation is that among the Kurds and the Shiites, who really did have the biggest role in putting this constitution together, that there will be a large amount of support in those communities, but that the Sunnis in the country will not support this constitution, and will likely those Sunnis who do come up will vote to try to defeat it, to not have this constitution pass.
We should point out that most Kurds are themselves Sunni Muslims, but they are, of course, racially and very importantly culturally and in language distinct from everybody else in Iraq.
This is true. This is very true. It actually just feels very different in Kurdistan. I mean, I would go as far as saying a lot of people are very secular in their everyday life, and you see a lot of the women don't wear the Islamic covering. They don't wear the hijab in the north, and the Kurdish men drink and openly, and it's not something that you really see in the rest of the country too much.
Mm-hmm. Describe that part of Iraq for us. I guess we're mostly familiar with the scorching desert in the southern part of the country and around Baghdad. Kurdistan, quite different.
Right. As you mentioned, it's both culturally and geographically very different than the rest of the country. It's surrounded by mountains and rolling hills. It's very green. There's a lot of rivers. Just the scenery is quite different than the palm trees and the marshlands of the southern and central part of the country.
We're talking today with Baghdad correspondent for Newsweek magazine, Babak Daganpishad. He's just returned from a visit to Iraqi Kurdistan. We're talking about the upcoming referendum there this Saturday. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Babak, let me ask you, there has been considerable differences. There are two major political parties in Iraqi Kurdistan, the Patriotic Union of Kurdistan, or the PUK, and the Democratic, the Barzani-led group of the Democratic Kurdish Party. These two bitter rivals held a war not all that long ago. At the moment, the leader of the PUK, Mr. Jalal Talabani, is president of Iraq. Are there internal rivalries in Kurdistan that could affect this?
Well, there certainly are. There are internal rivalries. Both leaders, Mr. Barzani, as you mentioned, and Mr. Talabani, have gone a long way to sort of bridge the gaps between their two parties and their two regions. In public, at least, there's very little sign that there's any friction between them. But in reality, the Kurdish region is still largely administered by two separate governments. Even though there is a unified Kurdistan regional government in the city of Erbil, the eastern portion of the Kurdish region run by PUK, Mr. Talabani's party, does really have its own set of organizations, and the two haven't quite blended together completely yet.
There is also a lingering issue, both constitutionally and politically, that could be very explosive, and that is the issue of Kirkuk, which Kurds of whatever political party regard as Kurdish, and a lot of other people regard as, well, not entirely Kurdish.
Yes, it is a very, very touchy issue. You know, if this constitution goes ahead as is and is ratified, then technically there will be a vote on, you know, first there will be a census taken of the population of Kirkuk, and then there will be a vote from the people in the city whether they should join the Kurdistan region. Now, the thing that's a little bit touchy about this is that there really have been quite a few hundreds, perhaps thousands of Kurds who, you know, since the 2003 war have settled in the city itself and areas around it, and there has been a lot of land grabbing. So it's unclear whether that there will be some mechanisms put in place legally to be a little more fair in how those Kurds return to their homes and how some of the Arab families that Saddam brought into the city maybe return to other areas.
Saddam brought those families into that city and, of course, many others in Kurdistan as a part of a program called the Arabization Program, where families were moved up and given Kurdish lands.
Exactly, correct. And it's really a very explosive issue, and you know, there has been a lot of violence in and around the city of Kirkuk because of it.
Let me ask you another question about the politics of the area. We often refer to the three major groups inside Iraq, the Sunnis, referring to the Sunni Arabs in Baghdad and to the west and north of that city, the Shias, who make up the majority of the population, the Kurds, who we've been talking about. But there are a lot of other groups, particularly in the northern part of the country, groups like the Turkmen.
Sure, you do have a lot of ethnic and religious minorities in the north, the Turkmen being one of them, and the Turkmen also have a very, sort of difficult relationship with the Kurds in the city of Kirkuk also, because they claim to have, a share and a right of staying in that city, and then often, butt heads with the Kurds. But also in the north, there's a large community of Christians, particularly after sectarian violence in Baghdad and other areas in the central and south of the country. A lot of the country's Christians have moved up north to villages and the city of Erbil and near the Turkish border. And there are even more obscure minor religious groups like the Yazidis that live in that region.
And the importance of the city of Kirkuk, not just as a center of population, but as the center of Iraq's oil industry in the northern part of the country.
Very true. And this is, I think, a point that makes the Turks in north of Kurdistan very, very nervous, that if Kirkuk were to be incorporated into the Kurdish region following a vote, that, there will be some sort of manipulation or access to the oil wealth in that region will really spur the Kurds within Turkey itself to push for autonomy and to create a whole host of problems for them.
And there's, of course, important Kurdish minorities in Syria and Iran as well. They are also concerned. Babak Daganshpishe, thanks very much for being with us. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
And tomorrow we'll continue our series on the regions of Iraq as they prepare to get ready for the constitutional referendum that's scheduled for Saturday. Will be going to the other oil-rich part of the country, down in the south of Iraq, around the city of Basra, where the Shiites are in the majority. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.